Good morning. Let us look to God one more time as we look into God's Word for His guidance. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for bringing us together this morning. And as we sit before Your Word, may the Spirit of God speak to our hearts and encourage us, Father, as we look into Numbers chapter 8 and as we try to understand the passage and help us to find practical applications in our own spiritual life. Bless this morning, Father. We ask this in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we were going through a series of examples from the scripture about consecrations. And this is just an outline of what we are planning to go through concerning examples of biblical consecrations. We have covered two of those. One, the first one was the priestly consecrations from Exodus chapter 29, and the second one was the Nazirite consecration from Numbers chapter 6. And as we were going through these passages, we were trying to understand what the will of God is, you know, what really demands from people who are expected to consecrate themselves, in whatever capacity may be for His service, what are God's requirements and what are its practical applications for us in the New Testament. And we looked at the priestly consecration, and we could summarize that consecration under three headings, that is anointing, consecration, and sanctification. And the idea of consecration there was filling the hands. You know, as these priests are ready to serve God, the hands are filled with the preciousness of the offering that was brought before God, and they stand in the perfection of that sacrifice, which reminds us of our own standing before God based on the finished work of Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. So, when we venture to do or accomplish our responsibility as priests along with our Lord Jesus Christ, what fills us, our being, is the perfection of Lord Jesus Christ. And then from Numbers chapter 6, we looked at the Nazirite consecration, and the one word if we can condense that whole chapter into one word in relation to consecration, is the word separation. It's a voluntary decision a man or woman takes in order for them to be consecrated for God. And the separation highlights the fact that they need to be separated from the earthly, from the relationship, and truly they need to be separated unto the Lord. And we saw that when that person fulfills the days of separation, he or she had the greatest privilege of bringing a variety of rich offerings before God, and how they were truly consecrated to offer praises and thanksgiving to God. Now today, let's look at the third consecration from Numbers chapter 8, and it's the Levites' consecration. And the purpose of the Levite consecration is to do service for the sanctuary. The priestly consecration was to minister unto the Lord in the sanctuary. The Nazirite was to separate unto the Lord. Now, these Levites are consecrated to do the service for the sanctuary. So we'll look at that today. And just before that, we also look at the outline of Numbers, the book of Numbers. It is divided into three sections, that is the preparation, the first section, the middle section, problems, and the third are the progress. And this particular topic is in the section that relates to the preparation. And there we see the Levite consecration along with the other consecrations of the people. Now, as we look at chapter 8, we can see the section on the right side is the outline of what we are going to do. Look at from chapter 8. So I divided this into different sections here based on the theme in this chapter. Elimination of the place, verses 1 to 4. Purification of the Levites, verses 5 to 7. Separation from the Israelites, verses 8 to 13. Possession of the Lord, 14 to 19. Completion of the consecration, verses 20 to 22. And the duration of the Levite service, 23 to 26. So that's just a simple breakdown of what this chapter is. So let us look into the first section. That's the verses 1 to 4, the illumination of the place. Now, when we look at this particular section, we don't see its connection with the rest of the chapter. You know that the rest of the chapter talks about the Levite consecration, and just before that, we have this few verses which talks about the candlestick, the light, in the sanctuary, and we don't see that connection between these passages. But we just want to look at that, and before going into this, I want to make a connection with what we are going to look at this morning. From a New Testament perspective, and the closest book that we find which relates to the subject is the First and Second Timothy in the New Testament. So there's a lot of parallels. So I tried to connect some of the verses, but we see that there are a lot of passages that connects with what we are going to look at this morning from chapter 8, which are really speaking to us. We are New Testament believers. We are also called to serve God. God has given us certain responsibilities, and we see the will of God concerning our own consecration to serve God. So there's a lot of connection between what we're going to look at this morning and what we find in First and Second Timothy. So as we were looking at the first section, the candlestick and the light, it's what illuminates the sanctuary. So they are given the responsibility to light the candlestick, and that gives the light. So that's the sphere of their ministry, right? So it is centered around that place where that is lighted. Every morning and evening, and they need to continue that. And when we look at this particular section, it's between chapter 7 and chapter 8. So chapters 7 talks about people, the tall, faithful men bringing a variety of offerings before God, and how they are offering their substance in the presence of God. And in the rest of the chapter 8, it's not the substance, it's the service. So in between this substance and service, we have given this wonderful thought about the light, which illuminates. So light speaks about illumination. And as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13 to 16, there's a wonderful passage which talks about the Lord living or dwelling in the light. It says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who was before Pontius Pilate, witness a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unblameable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentiate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath mortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom honor and power everlasting. Amen. So look at that expression. Dwelling in the light which no man can approach. That's the characteristic of the Lord Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we are told. You know, they are dwelling in the unapproachable light. So Paul advises Timothy to keep the commandments of God without spot. No, he's given a charge. He's given a responsibility. He's given a responsibility to serve God until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ without spot. So he need to fulfill that in the light of the one who has called him to serve. The one who has called him to serve is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he dwells in light where no man can approach. Unlike the sanctuary where we see that the priest would go and take care of the lamb. But, you know, our high priest is dwelling in a place where we cannot approach. And I mean, we can physically, I mean, spiritually approach him, but we need to know the what differentiate him from the Old Testament and the New Testament. So let's understand, no, the sphere of our ministry. We are serving a God who is dwelling in light. And also another characteristics of the candlestick was it was beaten of gold. It was beaten of gold, according to the pattern which the Lord showed unto Moses. So the candlestick which was beaten speaks about the intense, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was beaten, and it was more. It was made into that golden candlestick. It's not molded, but somebody has to hammer it down and shape it. There was excruciating pain inflicted, and just think about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, suffering for us there on the cross of Calvary, and you know, how he became our Redeemer, the one who came down from heaven as the light to illuminate this world, and as Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16 and 17, talks about, you know, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern of them which should hereafter believe on him to live everlasting. So, you know, his call to suffer for Christ, his responsibility to show forth Christ as the light to the world. So as Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and we are here to shine us, his witnesses. We are the light to the world, and we are called to illuminate the world through our work, through our service for him. So I think that's very interesting portion that the Spirit of God has put in this section, you know, just before going into the details of the consecration of the Levites. Now let's look at the consecration itself, and it starts with the purification. Verses 5 to 7 talks about the purification. You know, purification or cleansing was part of several instances that we can go back into the Old Testament where the people or the priest or anyone who wants to approach God need to go through that process of purification, right? So when man wants to approach God or serve him, needs to go through that step of purification, which was true with the case of the priest. And also when God came down to Mount Sinai, people were, you know, they were sanctified, they were purified. So in order for us to approach God, need to be purified. And as we look at this, verse 7, it talks about intense purification. look at the expressions there. Sprinkle water of purifying. Shave all their flesh. Wash their clothes. So it's not just one thing. It affects all their life. It is intense. It's severe. They have to examine themselves and see how clean they are, how purified they are. So they're going to be given a great responsibility to serve God in the sanctuary. And here, these exercise, help them to look into their own life and see how pure they are before God so that they can serve Him. So that's also a very important instruction given to us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. It's a close parallel in terms of our own service for God. Let me read that section. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepare unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So the message is very clear, even to the New Testament saints who are called to serve God. Depart from iniquity. Purge himself from these, so that we can be a wonderful vessel to honor God. We need to be sanctified, and so that we may be made fit for master's use. So we see the standard is, God's standard is saying, either in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, the one who is called to serve God need to be pure, need to be holy, need to pass through that intense cleansing process so that we can serve Him. And as we look at the chapter itself, it's not only the practical purity, it also talks about the doctrinal separation one need to keep in the chapter. So doctrinally and practically, one need to be separated to serve God in the sanctuary of God. So that's what I find in that section. Let's move to the next one, that is the separation from the Israelites. So these Levites, God is separating them to serve in the sanctuary. And that's what that we find that in the section verses 8 to 13. And as we look at this, there are several steps which are very important for us and also corresponds to some of the things that we find in the New Testament as well. First it talks about the offerings. We know that in the prior consecrations, offerings were very much part of their consecration, right? Apart from the offerings, there is no consecration. There is no place for that person to stand before God. So, first of all, God talks about, the Lord talks about the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the sin offering in verse 8. The appreciation of the death of Christ is very essential, right? So a person who is going to be consecrated to serve God should really appreciate what God has done for us or what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for that person. The burnt offering aspect of the life of Lord Jesus Christ, the meal offering, the sin offering. So it first starts with the burnt offering and the meal offering. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. It starts with the Lord Jesus Christ offering himself as a precious offering. And God was pleased with that offering. And we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he died, he rose again on the third day. And we see that offering was a sweet savor unto God. He offered himself unto God, and that's where our appreciation for Christ begins. Begins with this offering of himself unto God. And not only that, they are also required to offer the sin offering. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 to 7, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher, an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and variety. So, there is one mediator who became that sin offering for us, who gave himself as a ransom in order to rescue us from the hands of Satan, in order to pay our debt that we owe to God because of our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ stood in and he paid that amount that was required on our behalf. It pleased the Father through his offering on the cross of Calvary. So we see that the burnt offering, meal offering, and sin offering, and we need to have a good understanding of what Christ has done for us as we separate ourselves to serve God. And also we notice here that there are only three offerings, and there's no peace offering that is offered here at this time, which was associated with the other consecrations. It is for their service. It's not talking about communion with God at this point. They are called to serve God. So the need of peace offering is not mentioned here. So there's no peace offering. And also, as we have seen previously, that God starts with the meat offering and the sin offering. And then we see that when they start offering, it's the sin offering that comes first, and which is very much needed for man. We also see that order similar to what we saw previously in other consecrations. Now, and after that, we see not only the offerings, but they are brought before the tabernacle of consecration in verse 9. So they are brought before this public place, before the tabernacle. It's not inside the tabernacle, it's outside the tabernacle. People can see as they are consecrated, before the tabernacle. And there's a parallel in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, which is very familiar to us. It says, but if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Paul instructs Timothy here that how one should behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So, he's the one who is called to serve. As an accountability before God and accountability before man, it's in the house of God, and it is before the church of the living God, and it is upheld by the truth and the doctrines which God has laid down before us. So, just like these Levites were consecrated or brought before the tabernacle, we are also brought before the church of God, and our service ministry is open before God, and we have a great responsibility to uphold what God has revealed to us. And as we continue in verse 9, it says, gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And so as they brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, the whole assembly of children of Israel, they are brought together, and they are also looking at these Levites who are consecrated. So instructions to Timothy was, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 4, 12, let no man despise thy youth, but thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 6, 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So, you know, as they are called to serve God, as they are consecrated, it is before these people. And same applies to us. No, we need to be example to believers. No, our life, our service is going to be viewed or going to be looked at by other believers. And we need to be an example. And in the second verse, it says, before many witnesses. So it is in the public place that God has brought us to serve Him. And we have a great accountability, not only to God, but also to other believers. And not only that, we see in verse 10 as well, before God. So it's not only before the assembly of the children of Israel, but also they're also reminded that they are being consecrated in the sight of God. And there are several verses in the book of Timothy which, you know, points to that fact. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21, I charge thee before God. Same expression, 1 Timothy 6, 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God. 2 Timothy 4, 1, I charge thee before God. So, Timothy is given this great responsibility to serve God in the sight of God. It is before God that he's conducting his ministry. It is before the sight of God that these believers are consecrated. So let's be reminded that about our accountability to God, you know, as we serve Him, as we do it before the Lord. The Lord's eyes are always upon us, and we need to confirm in every step to fulfill His desire in our life. And not only that, the children of Israel put their hands upon the Levites. They are, you know, they are going to offer the Levites before God. So they put their hands upon the on the Levites. The children of Israel, the whole congregation, is going to be identified with the Levites who are going to serve. So they are. They're going to be one, right? So when you identify, when you put your hand upon the offering, you become identified with that animal. The perfection of the animal becomes our perfection. The perfection of Lord Jesus Christ, you know, becomes our perfection. So they're going to be identified with each other. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given by thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. So, you know, the whole church, the eldership, no, they're going to entrust Timothy for service. So, you know, they are going to be one. They're going to be identified with each other. So they have a great accountability and responsibility to do things according to the will of God. So they are accountable to each other. And not only that, as we come to the final aspect of this consecration, which is very important, verses 11, and Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of God. So offer the Levites, or, you know, waive the Levites. I think if you want to condense this whole consecration, what's the meaning of this consecration? What we can derive from this Levites consecration is that they are an offering unto God. This consecration means they become that offering before God. No, they are waved in the sight of God as an offering. And we see that being emphasized in verse 13 about the verse 13, offer them for an offering. Verse 15, also offer them an offering. And verse 21, Aaron offered them as an offering before God. So I think this consecration, just like the separation in the term, in the case of the Nazarites, what it boils down is that they are offered before God. The consecration is that they are offered as a sacrifice before God. And that's what we find through the words of Apostle Paul as he about to depart from this world. It says for 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6, for I know, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. No, that's all about, it speaks about our consecration. So when we say that we are consecrated to serve God, what it means that we are ready to offer our life as a wonderful sacrifice to please the heart of God. So that was Apostle Paul's mission in life, to offer himself as a sacrifice before God. And in his instruction to Timothy in the prior verses, verse 4, preach the word, be instant in season, but out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So he's called to serve God. He's called to suffer for him, to endure afflictions, and offer himself as an evangelist, as a servant of God. And that's what we see in the life of Apostle Paul. So I think this is the greatest takeaway that I see from this consecration, that, you know, when God called us, when we are consecrated to serve God, we became that offering. And we, you know, burn ourselves, or we are put on that altar, and it's going to consume us, every bit of us. And let it be my prayer that every aspect of my life may be pleasing to God, that he may accept my own life before God. And Bilson has captured that picture for us, the consecration where the offering is brought before the people, and the bullocks are going to be slain. So it's a wonderful picture of the separation. They are being consecrated all because of this sacrificial offering that's going to take place. So they are going to be inducted into the service of God. And thank you, Bilson, for that. Now, the next section, verses 14 to 19, talks about the possession of the Lord. So the Levites, verse 14 says, thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. So God is going to take the Levites. He's going to take the Levites instead of the firstborn of the children of Israel. So earlier, now in the book of Exodus, God talked about the firstborn as God's. But in Numbers chapter 3, verse 45, it talks about, you know, take the Levite instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and Levites shall be mine. So, you know, God made the decision to take the Levites as the instead of the firstborn, so that they can serve God. So, they are God's possession, and they belong to God. And you know, when we talk about our own calling, you know, we are God's possession. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who hath saved us, called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So God called us. God has chosen us and called us with a holy calling to serve God. So, you know, see the order, he saved us. And here specifically, I believe it's talking about the call to serve him. And according to his own purpose. And because God has a claim on us, and we need to serve him. And not only that, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So we see his God's claim on us. He purchased us, he called us and called us into his ministry. He adopted us as his children. And because of that, you know, we need to consecrate ourselves to serve God. Now, in the next section, it talks about the completion of consecration. In verse 20, we see that they are confirmed to the word of God. They did according to all the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites. That's what God expects us, you know, to be confirmed. When we are called to serve God, it has to be according to the will of God, according to the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So continue in the doctrine. And not only that, 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So holding on to the truth, holding on to the word of God, holding on to the sound words, you know, conformed to the word of God. And that's what we see in the case of Levites. They did it. And in our case as well, we are called to hold on to these truths. And verse 21 talks about the complying to the will of God. And see, Aaron offered them as an offering before God. And that's what we see. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. You know, they were complying to the will of God. And Paul's desire was to fulfill the will of God. And he wants to be that apostle and want to be that preacher, the teacher to the Gentiles. And we see that's being fulfilled in the life of Apostle Paul. And verse 22, we say they are consecrated to the work. As the Lord hath committed Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. So they were committed unto the Lord's work. 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. So Apostle Paul lived that life, and he has explicitly talked about his doctrine, and his life was an open book. He expressed his purpose in life. He manifested his faith and his love and patience. Everything was manifested through his life. He lived what he preached, and we see that in the case of Apostle Paul. And he says that, I am now ready to be offered. So he fulfilled that. What was required of him to serve God was fully manifested. Now let's quickly conclude by looking at the duration of their service. Talks about a little bit about the duration of their service. Here in chapter 8, it talks about the age where they are called to serve is from 25 and upward to 50. And in Numbers chapter 4, verse 30, talks about 30 years old. They were called, they were numbered, and in First Chronicles chapter 23:27, David, set that number to 20 years old. So, you know, whatever the number is, so here, it may be, you know, that they are consecrated at verse 25, and there's a time of training period, and they can actually do that from verse 30 onwards, as we see in chapter 3. Whatever it is, you know, they are given this responsibility to serve God, and doesn't matter what the age is, as we see, Numbers 3:15, the number of the children of Levi after the house of their fathers by their families, every male from a month old and upward shall thou number them. So they start numbering from a month old. So there we have this potential, right? Doesn't matter when it starts, but there's a potential in every Levite to serve God, right? And that's what we see from the life of Timothy, chapter 2, verse, 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, you know, if you're born in the family of, in the believers, from that young age, you are prepared, right? You are numbered to serve God. And Timothy is a great example for us that even as a child, he knew the scriptures. God was preparing him. And when we come to Acts 16, with the very first time that he's introduced to us in the scripture, we see that he is already molded to serve God, right? Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. He's already a disciple. His training period is over. He is ready to serve God. And that's what, you know, God expects from our life, you know, from the very young age. We know the scripture, be trained, and become a disciple. And when the time that God requires us to serve God, we should be ready to step in and do our service. And the Levites' consecration is a very great example for us, that they are numbered and they are being prepared to serve God. And as believers, from the very young age, there is a potential. God is molding each and every individual and prepares that person to serve God. And as we see from here, the Levite consecration speaks about our own life as an offering before God. You know, giving our life to serve God in every capacity that God opens before us. So may we find this as a great challenging thought in our own consecration to serve God, and may we continue to serve him, and let our life be an offering pleasing to God.